At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I was realizing, even though we've had our guest on the show before, it was kind of unsanctioned. You know, we went rogue. We do have a policy on this show to only have Millie Maker winners on, you know, Whistles Go Woo, RBX88. But Osimo, you finally earned your stripes. You finally earned your spot on Lulz. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. It feels good to be officially like welcome on the podcast, because there was something weird about the last times I was on.
Well, there's generally always something really weird. I mean, what, you came on the last time was what? We did the MMA hang?
Yep.
You were in Miami for that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about the big win, the celebration. Did it feel like a monkey off your back?
Well, yeah, after I won the sexiest male DFS player of the year, that was the day to remember, that's for sure. Like, popping bottles, like, that was probably my career highlight.
The thing is like, we tried to get a budget together to send a camera crew over, kind of shoot a documentary about our panelists for Most Sexiest Man of the Year. And we just couldn't quite pull it off. So I guess only DraftKings has the funds for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know how DraftKings does it, man. Like, you'd think that there would be TV shows about DFS players everywhere, because like everyone wants to make DFS content. Like, it's not that hard to like all get together in a house.
That's right. Did DraftKings scramble after doing all that filming with you and be like, shit, now we won the Millie, we got to send someone back out there and get some more footage?
No, they haven't really done anything with it yet, but the guys running the web series like texted me, congratulating me. But yeah, it's like my story arc isn't going to make any sense now.
Yeah.
Did you joke? Be honest. Did you joke about being the sexiest man alive with your new wife?
She already knew I was the sexiest male.
Oh, you didn't even have to tell her.
So that wasn't news to her.
Yeah, just old news. Old news. What else is new with you? The season winding down for you, or there's no such thing as seasons winding down? It just all blurs together.
So I think the big thing for me is this year I'm making a little bit of a pivot, like personally, where like obviously I do a lot with Osimo.com, and then like the DFS playing was a little bit of a side hustle. So I'm like trying to scale a little bit back with my DFS playing, just to carve out some more space to just live a normal life.
Wow, this is like you announcing like a semi-retirement. You're stepping back from doing projections for every single slate.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have a team that helps with that, but I do it like a few days a week for each sport. And I'm gonna keep doing what I've been doing with that, but it's more just that, like, especially with NBA, like I know you guys know the life where
go
like,
off King.
You're kind of just tied to your computer like for 3 hours, 4 hours, I guess, the hour before lock and the 3 hours after lock, and you can't really do anything. It's a real it's a drag, man. You can't really like have fun like during those times. Like you gotta always be able to swap. So I'm hoping to, especially recently, it's been really bad where like just slate scratches all the time. So I'm hoping that I can de-stress a little bit.
Brian, do you get excited? Yeah,
today
when you
was
hear,
today was the worst.
Yeah.
What happened today?
There was just a bunch of guys getting scratched all over the place. Yeah, man. What if they go back to the old way where they just got rid of late swap for NBA?
I mean, I love that. Like, that was part of how I have a wife, is I met her during the season where there was no late swap. I remember she said, like there was this one date we had where she was only free on, like, Sunday or something. So I was like, oh, I got to make this work. It was, like, during the day. I was like, I can only hang out till 4 p.m. And it really threw her off that I was, like, so strict to my schedule, just, like, having to be, at home at a certain time and stuff. So, like, it would have been a lot harder if, like, every single night, like, you're on a date and then you're like, oh shit, like Norvell Pell is out, I got a late swap. Like, just hang on for 5 minutes here.
I was like, I was trying to schedule something for Saturday and they were asking my free time. And, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, I was the cash game king, so I haven't been in these showdown streets for a while. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm free except for from, you know, 2:30 to 3:30 and before 7:30 to 8:30, because I was like, I got to get back in these showdown streets for the playoffs. So yeah, I mean, we're all used to, you know, having to schedule around our super important DFS lock times.
Definitely, yeah. It can be a little bit of a grind.
Brian, though, does that make you licking your chops when you hear Osmo isn't going to be playing as much DFS?
That, I mean, and every little bit helps, I guess, but I don't know, you gotta have I want to see Alex up to number one. That's gonna be weird if Alex is number one constantly. I'm actually gonna go on vacation.
Whoa.
I know that
Brian doesn't go on crazy. Vacations. That's your bit.
I know. I'm gonna go like during the week to Florida. My buddy's down there and my brother's down there a couple weeks.
Are you not gonna play DFS at all?
I don't think I can. Like, everything on these gigantic PCs now, like, I don't think a laptop could even handle it.
Dude, you gotta get a team viewer, man.
I was thinking about it. I've done that before. Maybe I will do that. Maybe it won't be a vacation.
Alex just single-handedly ruined his vacation.
I'm sorry.
I don't know how I could do that. It's like 8 days straight or whatever. Oh, man. In UFC, I want to watch and gamble on UFC. I got to do something. I'll probably take most of the days off, right? Go in the ocean and stuff, the boat, whatever. And yeah, I'm going to be hungover, I'm sure, a few of those days.
You took off a week, right, on your honeymoon. Do you have any tips for going through withdrawals for Brian here if he takes this plunge?
Yeah, I mean, what I did, like, especially being on a honeymoon, like, we didn't really, like, have much going on during the days. We were just hanging out by the pool. So I spent a lot of the time on NFTs.
Okay. You just shifted your focus?
Yeah. I mean, it's like you're just at the pool, like nothing's going on. Like, how about NBA Top Shot?
Yeah. Brian, do you see that? Maybe you make your pivot. You get the MetaMask on your mobile browser and just start blasting off.
Yeah, at the bar. We'll be at the bar, you know. Hey, good to see you. Yeah, anyways. Oh, my God. Sam Merrill?
Asma, are you? You're still. It seems like you're still pretty active in the Top Shot stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought it's a cool concept, and the execution has gotten better recently. Like, they started doing this thing where, like, they're like really trying to get you to buy like complete sets. I've been trying to do that, but it's like the way I like to do it is I like to have the moments that is actually like a memorable like basketball play, and that kind of takes away from that. But you know, whatever.
I opened my first NFL all day pack. I opened it on Club Top Shot last night, and it's funny, you know, I opened the NBA Top Shot packs. I barely know the names, have no emotional connection. I'm opening up the week 17 all day packs, and I'm like triggered by every moment. It's like, oh, Antoine Wesley, I had 35% Rondell Moore in best ball, and this is the guy who cucked him. Oh, then it's a Cedric Wilson touchdown, and I needed Michael Gallup in my underdog lineup that was top 10. It's just like every moment just brings back horrible memories. I was like, maybe I don't like being as close to the material as I would otherwise.
Yeah, especially like the week 17 ones. Like, I feel like in any NFL week, there aren't that many like very memorable plays. So especially week 17, I feel like that's taking all of the.
Yeah, and I got an Aaron Jones one, and I'm like, oh sweet, you know, Aaron Jones, cool player. I'm waiting for him to break off the touchdown run, and then he just gets tackled like 15 yards, like a 15 yard run. I was like, okay, all right. So yeah, I got blue balled hard there. I wish they would just, and I think you've said this for basketball too, with like the moments just being cooler, like just curate it more. Like, we're willing to wait like for the end of the season. Give me the top 50 moments from this year, and then we can actually be excited about them instead of just putting shit out there.
Yeah, like one of the things that I've been like really wanting on these NFT projects is like after a certain number of different ones, they all start to look the same, and I wish there was some like thing that like made them stand out a little bit more. Like, maybe they like call the play, like name the moments or something, like instead of 40 LeBron moments, maybe there's like, oh, this one's the no look three, and this one's like the tribute dunk, and it just seems like maybe like some of them would be a lot more memorable if they're attached to some sort of like name.
Yeah, because everyone calls it the Kobe dunk or whatever, but to have it more as like an official naming convention.
Well, yeah, I mean, like that. It's just like they just like say like two pointer, like three pointer,
yeah,
block, but like it doesn't really tell you what the play was, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you need some fly slamma jammas in there or something like that.
They were making them, they were printing them too fast, minting them too fast to like wait for the good to like look through the whole season's worth of stuff. They were just pumping them out there for a little bit.
It's not a problem if like the good stuff like stands out. It just doesn't right now. Where like I think the idea is like most of them aren't valuable, and they are able to make more money that way. But like the execution, they just don't like highlight the good ones enough.
It'd also be cool if they did some stuff where, you know, we think of, you know, DFS players, like you know you take down say an NBA tournament, and you know, previously you buy a jersey or something like that, but say there was the moment that sealed it for you, the rebound, the steal that put you over the top, and there was some kind of thing where you could actually request a moment, like if you were able to then have that steal minted because to you that's the one that like sealed the GPP win, like some kind of requesting stuff I think could be really cool too.
Yeah, that'd be really interesting. Like that one would be funny because like only one person can win a GPP a night, so it probably wouldn't have much resale value.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be truly for the collector only. Yeah.
I kind of like some of the projects, the NFT projects out there that like, what is it? I don't know what they're called. Like, it's like they mint babies or whatever. So like when the next series comes out, like if you're an original holder and you still have it, like you get something. Yeah. That would be cool. Like you could like, so like 2 years from now, you randomly can get, if LeBron's still playing in the league, a LeBron, and that's in without even knowing it was released. You just go into your account one day, you're like, oh shit, I got a freaking LeBron moment just randomly because I bought this Top Shot 5 years ago or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Yeah, or like if they didn't have a direct partnership with the NBA and could do more rogue stuff, like we own a Jokic Cosmic, what if we got airdropped, you know, Jokic shoving one of the Morris brothers, like as part of like you're already a big time Jokic investor, so now you get this other piece of Jokic lore.
Yeah, totally. I think they're trying to do more of that. Like they had this Steph Curry challenge where you needed a bunch of Steph Curry moments to get like this new one. And then they have like sets that you get airdrop stuff if you have them, but like it's definitely a cool concept.
Remember when Sam Merrill was going for like $23?
Yeah.
Sorry, Brian, you're lagging a little bit. But that moment actually is really cool because the Milwaukee Bucks set a record for the most three-pointers in a game. So it was like really funny because by the end of the game, the score was so many three pointers. It was like the end of the bench guy that set the record.
I think that was the argument back then too. It's like, no, it's a good moment. It's worth $18. Like, I feel like this isn't going to be worth $18 forever. Do you guys think it'll ever, you know how like there's some collections out there, like, I don't know, like Magic the Gathering or something, like Pokemon or some of those, like, apparently those cards go for tons of money. Like, I imagine like even the worst one of the original series is probably worth something. Do you think that is in the future for Top Shot at all? Like that Sam Merrill might 20 years from now be worth $25 again?
I feel like it would have to, like one of the sets becoming super iconic, you know, like Cosmic, you know, if you had one or two of those moments that just became, you know, $1 million valuation. And then it's like, oh, I just want to be in the orbit of this collection and just say I have a Cosmic, so I have a piece, and it's like I don't even give a shit who the player of the moment is. I just want to be able to say I own a Cosmic. I almost feel it's like the branding of the set would have to become, you know, so special to people for that to happen. Alex, have you ever thought like with Osmo stuff, like branching like another spinoff with the site and doing NFT analytics or doing Top Shot stuff? Has that crossed your mind?
Definitely, yeah. We had discussions about it when Top Shot was kind of going off in February, and then the enthusiasm ran out like really fast after it went down. So that was kind of what happened. But I think Top Shot does some cool stuff with their flash challenges. That's kind of relevant to what we do with like modeling, and then SoRare for soccer, like. They have some really nice like NFT games, but DraftKings also, they're planning to jump into the NFL streets in NFT this coming season, I think, because they have the partnership with the NFL Players Association. So I think that could be really big.
Yeah, I feel like I was talking to my buddy Mike, who does the Team Hold stuff, and I know he's been, you know, really getting into the Flash Challenge stuff and kind of playing the market ahead of time and like looking at projections to see, okay, what bench players could be the top scoring bench players tonight. I feel like with really good projections, you could have a nice edge on stuff like that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, there was this one challenge where this Anthony Simons moment went from like $500 to like $3,000 because he was on top of the challenge and there was like so few rares that he had for, so like the potential is there. Like I think like trying to flip for profit, I don't personally like want to do that much because it just seems like you're grifting a little bit. But I like the gamble side of it where you're like kind of gambling that these guys are going to win the challenge and then you can get paid off or just go bust.
Look at this guy with a heart of gold, doesn't want to be dumping on other people after securing these moments. You're too nice, Asuma.
Yeah, and you can see it in my account value or the amount, the account profit. I mean,
are you still you got a big bag you're holding still?
Yeah, I got a big bag.
That looked painful.
We did on the award show last week. I'm sure you saw, you know, best Top Shot purchase. I did do some back of the napkin math and said you had 50 Luka Doncic Cool Cats.
Yep.
Was I over or under that?
I think I had exactly 50. And like, dude, that one's seriously so tilting because, okay, so like no one at the time wanted to do this LaMelo challenge. And then now LaMelo is worth like the $3,000 that I was kind of like expecting it would be. So I got totally hosed there.
This was it was the Osimo holiday gift here. Luka Doncic, Cool Cats. Everyone gathers around.
What are they worth? What are they worth right now? I haven't even looked at the marketplace in a while.
That's a good question.
Anyone know? Question. I know that the Jokic Cosmics aren't exactly flying off the shelves. I know that.
Are we low ask or did we get undercut?
We got undercut.
So it looks like the Luka Cool Cat. Oh wow. So 870 I see as low ask.
Yeah, that's like about what it was when the challenge ended. So like now the Lamella is the
bottleneck.
Yeah. So the thing that sucks is like they hyped up this moment so much, and then the like actual play was kind of like not that thrilling. So I think that was a big part of why the enthusiasm was kind of ran out.
Yeah, I feel like the LaMelo stuff, because of course his debut moment was the super weak assist with Gordon Hayward, and then I felt I have another. It was the LaMelo. It's the LaMelo like bowling full court pass was the badass LaMelo moment.
The MGLE or whatever.
Yes, yes. And I do have one of those. And I'm like, to me, that's quintessential LaMelo ball. And sometimes, like when you get a valuable moment, I want it to be like quintessentially that player.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like that one was cool. Like, did you get it airdropped or did you?
Yeah, I binked the airdrop in some kind of contest or whatever. I forget.
Yeah, because those they didn't release them in packs. It was all airdrops, so that was pretty cool. But I didn't get one.
Although I'm trying to see now where the floor is.
Do you have to claim the airdrops? I didn't look at anything.
I legit can't even remember how I got this one. It's been so long. Yeah, it's at 2,000 right now. But yeah, I feel like. Yeah, I was more bummed just that it's like, all right, you have your growing pains with Top Shot, but I just hoped that some of the moment stuff would have been smoothed out for NFL and given us really premium moments. But I don't know. Maybe we can keep our fingers crossed.
Well, the weird thing about the NFL one is that they would have moments for these guys that were legendary and it was guys that barely played this year, you know, like. Jakeem Grant was one on the Bears where this guy is probably like the fifth wide receiver on the team. Like, I don't know if Bears fans are like that big a fan of like the team that they're going to want that as opposed to like a weaker moment from like a more popular player.
Yeah. I would have bought a Jakeem Grant right after that one showdown game. I think it was Packers Bears and he had a pretty monster game. That's how they need to get you. They need to get us DFS players when we, you know, have an affinity for one of these guys helping us win money, and then we're ready to add it to the collection.
Well, I always thought that you should be able to make an NFT of your lineup, and then, I think my idea was you should be able to print out your lineup and get athletes to sign it or something. Like, yeah. Maybe it's not an NFT thing, but I think that'd be pretty cool.
Well, I don't know if you saw, I mean, we were doing it earlier. So what the Owners Club is doing with their playoff packs, and it's sweet because you buy the pack for $20, you get 20 cards in it, and then you set your lineup with your 12 that you want for the best ball contest, and then you mint it. And so there's like three levels to it. There's like the pack lottery, you get to open it. Then there's the strategy of like setting your lineup up, figuring what correlations you want. And then there's the secondary marketplace where if you're doing well, you could go list it for $500, see if someone thinks the EV of it is greater. So I'm having fun with that kind of concept too of like, and that'd be so fun even for like DFS season long best ball lineups of like, if someone wants to offer you a cash out button for it, like that'd be a pretty good, you know, math problem to try to solve for.
What about, yeah, what about pretty- like a ring, you know, how like you get a ring if you win a Super Bowl. So like you get, you know, whatever, an NFT of your winning lineup. And then when the guy goes broke, just like in real life with the rings, it goes on the market. You know, they got to make some money back. You got to sell your Millie winner NFT they made.
That would be heartbreaking. You go so busto that you have to sell your Millie Maker ring.
Yeah. You get like Mike Matisau's bracelet, you know, you get like Alex Baker's Millie NFT. Alex is gonna go bro.
It's crazy when you like win one of these Millie makers, like you get part of like you get invited to like a special club and they send you gifts and stuff. We're not supposed to talk about that.
I'm still I think my DK rep is currently upset with me because I asked for a 400 man double up rake free contest and it didn't fill this weekend. So they had to eat a lot of cash game king overlay this week.
Do they have like check boxes like unchecked, allow wife to play an extra 150, you know, after you get in this club, they're like, oh, I got to uncheck this for you here. You're good now. You're good. 300.
Well, the best perk is the super late swap where you can swap after the game starts.
Up to 5 minutes after the game starts.
Brian, this reminds me. Talk to us about your new the sports betting HUD that you you rolled out today.
Yeah, new in quotes. I've been working on it for a while, but like working with developers takes, Alex probably knows full well, although he's got in-house guys, but takes forever. And so like I felt like it's good enough for like to send a tweet out at least finally. And it's pretty simple. Just overlay stats. Like I don't know about you guys, but I always was annoyed by like going in between my tweet probably that needs to be updated too. My web guy's on different time zone than me though. If you go to my tweet, you probably see more accurate up-to-date stuff. But like going in between, like Alex has like an ROI chart. You go to his ROI chart and you're like, okay, 10% or his page. And then you have to go back over to the site and then go back and forth. And it's like, okay, how long have these been updated? Like, was there, especially in the NBA, we're just talking about all the injuries. And you can see here, like Alex updated 10 minutes there when I downloaded that. So like you could get it up there, you know, as fresh and easy to read. And no offense, Alex, but people do subscribe to more than one site, you know? So like some people like looking at other people's numbers and comparing those too. So I figured,
sexiest DFS male player. I'm well aware that people, they aren't committed.
People are in non-monogamous aggregated relationships. Is that what you're saying?
That's about the best way I've heard it put. Yeah.
When I first started doing my own props, Pete, it was like annoying to even look at my own stuff. And I'm like, No one's gonna want to even use these because it's so annoying. And then but you guys, you know, everyone who used to play poker before it was shut down, there was these like stat HUDs where you could see like your opponent's stats and track their play and see their VPIP and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, this should be something like this for sports betting. And like, you know, props are beatable. All this information is really valuable. So it's not like some scammy, you know, guy selling picks for 5 minutes before NFL side tips off. You know what I mean? Where you can't possibly have an edge. So like, I don't know. It made sense to me.
Yeah, I think it makes a ton of sense. And that is like one of the hardest things of like, you're looking at projections and then trying to go line by line, you're control effing, trying to compare stuff. It definitely is difficult. Speaking of that, that also reminds me, did you guys see the stuff with the Draymond Green DraftKings props the other night? Did you see that?
Yeah. I heard that FanDuel like paid them out. Like, okay, and then DraftKings was trying to argue that they shouldn't be liable for people who did these like single game parlays on all the unders or whatever, right?
Yeah, did you hear about this, Brian?
I did. Yeah, but keep going if you guys have more to say.
Oh no, I was just going to set it up and just see it. Yeah, because basically it was some people took all these Draymond Green unders because they knew he was just kind of ceremoniously starting because of Klay's return, but wasn't actually going to play it all. And so what, they just sliced and diced it every way and was just hitting these massive parlays.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've seen a lot of people do these crazy parlays with like Sabonis under points, Sabonis under assists and rebounds, and then like you actually get crazy odds like 40 to 1 or something, and then if there's some injury or something then you win big. So I've seen a bunch of people like posting on Twitter about stuff like that. And then there's this one where like they told you ahead of time, this is what was going to happen. So That was pretty cool that some guys took advantage of that opportunity. Of course, if it gets voided, like what can you expect? So, all right.
Yeah, I heard some guys who had like legit six-figure scores on that, and I'm like, I'd be willing to be banned from sports books for a quick six-figure score there. But it did seem like they were trying to wiggle out of it at first, even though, I mean, as it was posted, they clearly should have been on the hook for it.
Well, did DraftKings end up paying out?
I'm pretty sure they did from what I saw.
Okay, yeah. That's cool. I mean, like, they probably didn't have to, but I assume that, like, the negative publicity is worse than just the amount they have to pay.
It's hard too, because it's like, you don't, right? Like, this is why people do prop bets and stuff, like, right? You're trying to find an edge and then push it to the max. And then, you know, the sports book is like, well, this is why we don't want to offer up all these crazy lines, is because we don't have the time to monitor it to the extent that it makes it worth it for us. And so that we get beat. Now we don't want to offer it. It's just like a bad cycle that I think it always ends up in.
Yeah. I mean, I think the sports books have a good point here, because, like, say, You're betting on, like, the winner of the MVP, right? And then there's a tweet from Schefter, okay, like, Jokic is the MVP. And then, like, a minute later, you bet on Jokic to win the MVP. Like, that's not really, like, outsmarting the sports books.
He could be wrong. It is still slightly a gamble, but it's honestly something that people really need to think about before they start betting props using Alex's stuff or whoever's, is you kind of got to make a decision, like, how long you want to last, and then, like, make a game plan for it. Like, if you watch Live Before Lock, Alex's Osmo shows, someone gets ruled out, right? The first thing Laffy says or Greg says, or whoever, they're like, oh, let's hit those props. Let's hit the overs on this guy, which is good. It's smart. It's plus EV, but, like, you're steam chasing, and, like, that might.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place by working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies. We keep moving forward with each new idea, innovation, and partnership. We're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Put red flags on you. And I'm not saying they shouldn't say that. Like, that's their job to say that. But I'm saying you as the better, you might want to, like, I don't know, like, maybe this isn't the spot. Like, if you want to last longer and, like, you know, at least throw them a bone. Bet some sides and totals or MMA matches and stuff, like when you're going out with friends and watching. I don't know. That's what I do. And I know, because I do know some guys who are still alive who, like, gamble everything. I don't want to say their name, but they're making pretty good money on props, betting lots where you would get limited normally because they have so much action on the other side. You guys probably know who I'm talking about, but don't say it because we don't want them getting booted. But
I honestly don't know, you have to think about it. Can you tell me after the stream?
I will tell you.
But yeah, I agree. Like betting, like, right after news breaks, it just seems like you're gonna get banned pretty quick because it's, like, really transparent what you're doing. But it is profitable, so it's kind of a give and take there. But I guess, like, the books don't even really care about that. They just care, are you winning or are you not? And then if you are beating the lines, then you get limited. So that's just how it goes right now.
But you can try. You can try stuff like maybe do like, you know, whatever, get a ratio down where you're like betting some regular bet for every good obvious bet you know you're doing. So then you can maybe bet some, get some steam in there occasionally. And but like keep track of it. And then like, you know, it doesn't have to be the same site every time. So like if you're not betting on FanDuel, like then you don't need to bet, you know, you don't need to screw with them. But like then if you only do FanDuel props all week or 3 weeks in a row, it's like you're just asking for it.
Brian said he was going on vacation, but he's actually going to save his sportsbook accounts. He's just going to be blasting off drunk from the beach to really throw them off on the scent. It's actually a business trip, Brian.
I'll write it off if I can.
You're going to play a bunch of golf, I assume?
Maybe we will play golf, but that wasn't the plan. Nah. Get a boat day, just go to the bars. I know one of our other buddies is down there too. Probably hang out with him one night.
How are you going to go to the bar, man? Are you going to bring your laptop there?
This is a problem for me. I mean, TeamViewer is an option now. Now TeamViewer is an option. I don't trust my laptop.
I want to see a photo of Brian like at some, you know, Margaritaville bar with just like full-on monitors over there wearing a Tommy Bahama shirt, you know, just running the Sims. That's what I want.
I have a USB to the playoff game. Like I take over the playoff TV at the bar. Sorry guys, I need a larger screen for this.
They're like, why am I watching the Matrix on the corner up here? So Brian's just running the Sims. He does it every time.
You know what I'm doing this weekend? Ice fishing, Pete.
Oh boy. Get out your gloves. You're probably going to be so bundled up.
Have you ever ice fished in your life, Pete?
Oh, man. Every day. I get up at 4 a.m., head down to the Charles River behind my house, and I get out there drilling holes in, seeing what kind of fucked up carp I can pull out of there. No, I haven't, Brian. Where are you going on? What is it, Lake Michigan?
No, just the lake my house is on. Okay. Yeah, got it. Bought a tent, bought an auger, ready to go, ready to roll. I don't know. I'll probably last about 45 minutes. I'm like, all right.
Are you going solo or with friends?
No, one of my brothers is coming and one of our buddies. Do three man.
What do you set? Mock Lovin's coming. do you set up like a tent? Like what's the kind of like camp out situation here?
Yeah. You don't need one, but yeah, set up a tent. You can bring a heater, bring it in your tent if you want, but you don't have to have one. And like, if you really want to be lazy about it, you can just drill a hole and put one of these tip ups on there. It's just like got this automated, you just put a hook on it and then when it catches the fish, it tips up a flag and then you go out there and get it.
There you go. The chat's going wild for ice fishing here.
This sounds like,
there we go.
A cover story.
You're not buying it?
No, I don't buy this at all, man. Like this sounds so sketchy. Like, what kind of illegal activities are you getting into?
Yeah, I'm going ice fishing. I'll post some pics on Twitter.
Said Mock Lovin was going to be there.
Mock Lovin said he's going to bring his buddy. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. And like. Like, how did you guys get all the fish? How does that happen?
No, there's, Brian, you know, truthfully, he was feeling a little jealous getting left out of the Let's Go miniseries. And so he bootstrapped his own. It's him, Mock Lovin, and the Chipotle Bros. They're going out there to ice fish and film it all. I mean, that would be good content. Honestly, it would be great content.
I mean, there's a remarkable lack of ice fishing content on TV nowadays.
You know, I mean, how many times do I just have to sit in my lazy boy and flip through the channels? No ice fishing. I mean, it's absolutely brutal. This is like, I kind of feel the same way. Ice fishing sounds like the worst combination of comfort and entertainment, which is a pretty good take.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah. I'm trying to do something. All right, guys.
That's why we don't believe you're doing it.
I know. I don't believe in myself, honestly. I don't blame you.
No, you're right, because I give you a hard time about just always being inside, not going on vacation. And then here Brian tells us he's going on vacation, going ice fishing. We just mercifully make fun of him for it. No, Brian, go. You're going to smell the roses. You get your hand in the dirt, get your hand in the ice.
Well, we'll see how long I last. I'm going to try to do it Friday and then Saturday before the games.
Well, here's what I mean with any kind of snow activities. I mean, the dream is you come back to the hot tub, and if I recall correctly, you got the hot tub.
I didn't fucking think about that. Yeah, I might have to do that.
There you go. Ice fishing in the hot tub. Now that's a nice little day right there.
I might actually just let those guys go fish and I'll watch them from the hot tub. That's like kind of vicariously. That's kind of ice fishing. Did you catch anything?
Make sure you're bundled up out there. Have you invited Alex to the lake house?
I don't think I have, Alex. Have I? No, I need a girlfriend. I need a plus one at this point. I think.
Brian's waiting so you can make it a proper double date. But you could just invite little bros day out on the lake.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. Both you guys. If Pete ever comes, you can come visit us too. While three hang out there.
A little three man.
Yeah, I mean, talk about good content. The three of us in Brian's lake house for the weekend.
We'll do
I would love to come out live stream
from the hot tub. The three of us.
Oh my god, I can't even imagine. I truly can't even imagine. Neil asking, fishing gloves necessary or do winter gloves suffice, Brian? This is the question. Uh-oh.
I mean, Neil, being in Minnesota, I should like know better than any of us.
Brian, we lost
you. Did you hear my response? I might have broke up there.
We did. You went blank right when we asked you the question.
I said touching fish is gross. I'm wearing fish gloves.
I feel like you'd need two layers, right? Like you'd need gloves for warmth and then over them your little fish gloves so you don't get all scaled up.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And you need to be able to crack open the beer somehow.
That does seem like the best. I mean, the closest I've would got to that would probably be going to a Patriots tailgate when it was, you know, like 15 degrees outside and like just drinking enough alcohol until you forget that you're freezing cold is generally a pretty good strategy. Let's see. Neil says, I've been ice fishing once in my life and my goal was just to not catch any fish so I wouldn't have to deal with them. There you go. No, we need Brian a photo with his, you know, what fish are even out there when you're ice fishing? What kind of fish are you trying to get?
Supposedly there's some real big ones in there. I haven't seen any, but they have the regular ones like bass and carp and bluegill, but they have some pike and someone said there's sturgeon in there. I don't know if I believe that.
I feel like you gotta feel bad for these fish because the water is probably pretty cold. So maybe you could get like a hot water bucket, like give them all a little like hot tub experience and throw them back. Right.
Whoa, sturgeon?
Chlorine? Okay.
I just Googled one of these sturgeons. I mean, Brian, if you pull one of these things out, you'll be a legend.
It's a fucking dinosaur. That's not coming.
This looks like some Loch Ness monster shit right here.
Yeah. Yeah, they used to be everywhere in Michigan and around the lakes, and they were hunted for their caviar in like the early 1900s to almost extinction. So they're there's not a ton of them left.
Holy shit, dude. No. Look at this one.
They get huge.
This is like a slightly blurry photo here. This doesn't look real. Check this out. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, they get enormous.
Brian, if you pull one of these out of the water, you'll go down as the greatest ice fishing DFS player of all time.
Yeah.
I gotta be top 10 already, and I haven't even went.
That's incredible, Alex.
The fish,
if you
the fish is bigger than Ben, the better.
If you, Alex, took on like a hobby like this, you know, a classic hobby, I don't know, painting figurines, you know, model trains. What do you think you would do to occupy your time?
Hobbies wise, like I've always been a pretty big video gamer, but that one's super lame. So my other one is ping pong.
Oh.
Because there's kind of a scene in Chicago where you can go to the bar and they have ping pong tables. So I joined a league and met a few cool guys there, and we just play ping pong and drink beers and stuff. But the one thing, it was really heavily impacted by COVID, so the scene's kind of dead right now, but I'm hoping it picks back up.
Now, when you meet normies and you're playing ping pong, at what point do you float the idea of gambling on the ping pong, and have you had that conversation?
So it actually did happen, like in the filming of this video, Chasing the Goat, where they're like, we need to have you put a bunch of money on this game. And then like they pulled out these like four $100 bills, and they're just like on the ping pong table. And
decorative $100 bills.
Yeah. They're like, we'll fund this. And I threw in a couple bucks because my buddy, his name is $2 Jimmy. So he had all these $2 bills. He's like, how about we up these stakes? He pulled out some. I just pulled out a bunch of ones. And then he beat me. It was close. But then he won $400. And I think that's the most anyone's ever won playing ping pong in one match.
Hang on. I feel like we buried the lead. You have a friend named $2 Jimmy that walks around with $2 bills in his pocket at all times?
Yeah, he does, man. He's always giving them out. He was at my wedding, and he gave my wife's mom a $2 bill, and it left a big impression. She's like, I remember this guy, $2 Jimmy.
This is incredible. So he just has them for like all scenarios in life. Like anytime something comes up, he's like, just whips out a $2 bill.
That's exactly what he does. Like, and he's like the nicest guy, and he's always like helping people out. And we threw this birthday party for him at this ping pong bar, and we gave him a necklace of $2 bills as a birthday present.
That is absolutely incredible. Would he like, how far does he extend this bit? Does he like tip valets and bouncers $2, or like, what, how does that work?
That I don't know. I he's really generous, so I'd imagine if he gave him $2 bills, it'd be a lot of them.
That's odd. Like, where can you even go to a bank and request $2 bills? Like, I don't even know how that process.
I did it for making this necklace. Yeah. I had a fistful of them.
That's incredible, man. Yeah. $2 Jimmy, have you ever talked about him before? Is this kind of the first the world is learning about this individual?
He's well known in the Chicago streets.
Wow.
Well, if he makes a DFS account, he knows what to pick.
He actually does play on, he bets a lot on sportsbook.
That I was gonna say, I mean, just for like a gambler, like a gambling name, $2 Jimmy is just an absolute incredible name. The chat is absolutely loving $2 Jimmy. Neil wants to hear more. Lou saying he's the guy I better call Saul. I would not.
Yeah, what if it's like Jimmy actually really dark, you know, like $2 Jimmy, he was convicted of murder shortly after this.
I would hope it was like the other way, that like he went El Busto and all he had was $2 left to his name, and then he ran it up to like a fortune, and now everyone calls him, you know, $2 Jimmy.
Oh, that would be, yeah, I like that.
Nope. Nobody really knows the full origin story of $2 Jimmy.
So do you think, is any of that going to make the cut for that ping pong scene? Does he get introduced to the viewers?
Well, the thing is, like they scrapped a lot of the footage, so I don't know if it's going to be in it. Like it sucked because like they wanted me to get together like a big crew to like hang out, and we played ping pong, and then we went and did karaoke, and it was actually a really fun night. And we all like, we stayed at the karaoke place like 2 a.m. It was like a Monday night or something crazy. Everyone just wanted to keep hanging out. It was amazing. But yeah, like it just didn't make the cut, I guess. So from what I understand, if they like make it a bigger series, they're saying that if shows get picked up, they usually just start from scratch and refilm everything. But I don't know.
How many total hours would you say you were filmed for this entire series?
So they came out to Chicago for 2 days. So we filmed probably like, it was a good amount each day, like 4 or 5 hours. And then like me and Whistles and Big T went out to Miami for 3 days. And then like most of the filming was over those two sessions. They also went out to Big T and Whistles' hometowns. So those 4 film sessions. And then they did a little bit at the final, like not a ton.
Nice. And do you think, like, would you ever have access to some of that footage? Like when you say, hey, it didn't make the final cut, but I'd love to post a clip of my buddy $2 Jimmy on Twitter. Like, would you ever be able to do that?
Damn, I need to ask about that. Like maybe after episode 3 comes out, because I think that might be, they're going to make one more episode and then they're going to make a 22-minute pilot. And I think that's going to be the final iteration of this. So maybe after that, I can try to figure out if there's anything good that didn't make it.
The reason I asked too is because I had, so when I, or I should say Mans, went and did the Gambling Olympics, and they had a New York Magazine writer and a New York Times/Magazine photographer come out and shoot the entire event. And Mans had gotten into the best shape of his life for this Gambling Olympics week. I mean, I'm talking like it's never getting as good as it did then. And this guy just took pictures the whole weekend, and it was so, so good. The article never comes out for whatever reason. They paid for these guys to go out, cover it. And he's like a really good journalist. This guy who's the photographer, he now, I follow him on Instagram. He goes and does Matthew McConaughey, George Clooney shoots, like the elite photographer. And I've DM'd him like once every 2 years, I'll DM him and be like, hey, any chance those photos are ever going to get like released? And he's like, yeah, sorry, you know, New York Magazine kind of has the rights to those, and I'm not really at liberty to do anything with them until they like release them or whatever. So some of those things, you got to be careful. They can get locked into the vault for good.
Dude, it sounds like you treated this Gambling Olympics like it was a wedding or something, as far as like getting in the best shape of your life.
I did work harder to get in shape for the Gambling Olympics than I did my own wedding.
Yeah, but I mean, it sounds like it was worth it, though.
I wasn't running around with my shirt off for a New York Times photographer at my own wedding, though. So I had more motivation. But that's cool. So I didn't realize the goal was to. Are they trying to like pitch it to like studios and stuff? I just assumed the goal was like an online web series, but it sounds like bigger aspirations.
I think so. Yeah, I think from what I heard, DraftKings really liked it. So, I mean, DraftKings has a ton of resources and sway. So I'm not sure what that's going to lead to. But yeah, I think like they're just trying to like make something really cool and see what comes of it.
Yeah, that'd be pretty badass to throw on Netflix there and see my Chasing the Goat episodes on there.
Definitely, man. Like, I feel like they're going to replace me with like cooler people next season. So maybe you guys will be getting the call.
You said cooler people. I don't know. I don't know about that. But maybe we just take matters into our own hands. You have the contacts now, or contacts, and we say, hey, 3 of us are going up to Brian's lake. We're going to do ice fishing, then do a live stream from his hot tub. We're going to get the team viewer and the HUDs out there. I mean, how do you not come and film that?
That sounds like a TV series right there. Like a combination of fishing, DFS, and like hanging. Like that's gold.
Well, Brian and I have like spitballed, because we had talked about the 2 months, 2 million thing with poker, and just like if you could pull that off, like a reality TV show for DFS players. But I just think it's so tough with how many people are married and have kids. Like, who's willing to go live in a house for three months and do that?
Well, I think the big difference is people like watch poker on TV, and they've never really found like a way to translate fantasy into that kind of live experience. So I feel like that's like a key thing that maybe needs to be figured out.
2 months, 2 million, though, those guys were online guys, and all they were doing is sitting on their computer, and they somehow still made it a drama. Who would you guys put in that house? We briefly talked about this once before, but like what like 4 DFS guys have to be in this house, you know, like personality wise.
Chris Rendon, you guys mentioned. I thought he was a shoe-in.
Yeah.
Rendon's a shoe-in. I do feel like RBX 88 is kind of perfect.
Oh, he'd be good.
For the house. He just seems like someone that could go quickly from like making lineups to just being in the you know, the heart of the party within like seconds. That doesn't seem like a hard transition for him.
Who would be like a villain? Because you always need some drama. Like, who would be starting drama?
I mean, we get the chess is okay mentioned. I mean, is okay in there would be pretty good.
Yeah, that would be that would cause some drama.
Imagine, like, I'm imagining RVX 88 like throwing a rager at the house and like chess coming out and telling him to like turn down the music and stuff while he's getting his 80 hours in, and RVX 88 just too drunk to even bother with it. It sounds like just a classic college roommate.
I'm picturing chess in the you know how they have like the booth that the guys go into and talk, right? Like,
yeah,
he's a booth guy. He's in there just talking shit the whole time, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think who else would be, because the way that show would have to work, like I didn't see 2 months, 2 million, but how did they make kind of like the high stakes element of it? Like, how did that translate?
I guess the drama of it all was that they had to make this amount of money in this specific time. So there's like a counter up there. Mm-hmm. They're going, you lost 20,000 this day. Brian won 20,000, blah, blah, blah. They're on pace for this. Like, that's all the drama. So like, you don't know if they're playing 5-10 or 50-100 or whatever. They're just playing no limit home. You don't even have to know anything about poker really to watch that show. And the whole drama was in their tally and like, oh, that this guy went out last night, so he's not contributing. So there's like a lot of conflict between the two. You know what a big problem with that would be with some of these guys is, are we sure they're gonna win? You know what I mean? You got to put some really good players in there if you want to do a 2 month, 2 million.
I mean, that sounds like Whistles Go Woo. Like, he won 3 million makers this year. So,
what if, well, it's so funny you say that, Brian, because that could be like a subplot of it where it's like, well, yeah, man, there's variance. Like, I need a really long time horizon to kind of showcase what a good player. And they're like, fine, all right, you're in here for 3 years until you finally could claw your way out and prove that you were a plus EV DFS player.
RBX is blaming missing a slate for having too much sex on variance. Like, good luck explaining that one.
I mean, the reality TV show producers would have a ton of fun with Rendon and RBX 88. They would make a meal out of that.
Yeah, those two for sure. I feel like we're missing some obvious guys who would be perfect in there.
Oh, yeah. Alex just replied to this in the chat, and I meant to pull this one up. Someone was asking your favorite karaoke song.
So, for this documentary, I guess there are two answers. Like, just a bar or something. Like, one of my favorites is Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley.
Rickroll people at the bar, yes.
But for this documentary, they had me sing. They wanted a song that they didn't have to like buy rights to, so they had me sing a song from my old band called "Wrong as You." It was like an emo song, so it was really funny because by the fourth, they had us like do this shot like six times, and by the sixth time, like my buddies knew the words and like singing along and stuff.
Wait, did you have a karaoke track of that old song?
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't a karaoke track. It was just the full track. So I had the vocals in there, and I was kind of singing over the vocals.
Wow. Look at that. DraftKings is willing to throw money in for a fake high-stakes ping pong match, but they're not going to pony up for Rick Astley copyright?
They had a huge budget though, like, because like they got us this yacht. They actually like had us do these like shopping sprees that will be part of the next episode, so you guys will see that. Yeah, I mean, the budget was huge. I think it was just like kind of a pain in the ass to like go and get the rights, so they probably just don't want to deal with that.
That's kind of like the give or take of this is like, you're going to get the bigger budget with DraftKings, obviously, but you really want someone not affiliated with any of the sites producing it so they could take some more chances. Like, DraftKings doesn't want to see RBX 88 coming out of a brothel. You know what I mean? And like,
yeah,
doing that shit.
I think there was some like constraints that they're faced with because of that. Yeah, like because I think they were very focused on us all like hanging out and having a good time, and they're like cut of it. Where I feel like we were all like busting each other's balls and stuff, and that didn't really make it to the episode. So, I think they were going for like just more of a less risk taking approach for sure.
Right. They don't want to like portray a toxic environment, you know, like everyone can play DFS. You really need someone like taking chances and making it fun.
Yeah, I mean, like, what if you watched it and you're like, I didn't realize Alex was such a bully.
Yes, that's what we really need, is you with Big T just kind of giving him a noogie there in the headlock. God, I wish I could have come and helped produce that and just put you guys in a million. Like, I would have had like the Big T, like, you know, walk downstairs in his bathrobe, but he's not wearing anything, so it's just completely pixelated, and he does the, you know, the yawn there, and you guys like, what, dude, come on, put on some clothes. I mean, we could have had a lot of fun with it.
that would have been good. Yeah.
Well, Alex, congratulations on, you know, winning a Millie Maker, but more importantly, winning Lulz's sexiest DFS man of the year.
Thanks. Yeah, that was kind of out of the left field. I think I got lucky because the real sexiest man or men in the DFS industry weren't part of the poll. But I'm going to accept it as like the official result. And thank you.
I would say, based on the engagement your acceptance tweet got, I mean, it seems pretty legit. I mean, I think people kind of understood that it was unquestioned.
I mean, like, I have always wanted to be an Instagram model. So it's not only been like kind of a thing where I was like, oh, thank you guys like so much, but it actually like kind of inspired me to rekindle my Instagram Alex Baker influencer. So maybe I'll have to start posting some more modeling pics on there.
What is this just your main account, or did you say you started another account?
I wanted to start an influencer account.
See it here.
And I was like, maybe I'll do these product pics. So like one of them, I did this like product demo of like eardrops.
Well, I can't believe I didn't even notice that you followed me and I hadn't hit you with the follow back. My bad, dude.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I appreciate it.
Look at this. Now, this is my new favorite.
I don't have an Instagram account. Otherwise, I'd follow you.
If you click that one on the very bottom right, that was kind of like the idea is like I was going to tag these random brands and try to get them to like pump these up.
Well, three likes. We're up to four now. You're well on your way, Alex. Brian, anything else? People should obviously check out the Sports HUD. I posted it in the chat. I'll put it in the show notes as well. Anything else on your end before you go ice fishing and to Florida?
I was up to 6 followers on Gitter. I'm down to 5. Had one person leave. So wow. If I want to get that up, world's number one DFS player on Gitter.
Wow. That's am I the only one not trying to launch a career on another social media site? Goodness. all right, guys, we appreciate you hanging out. We are here every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Audio version of the podcast will go up in a bit as well. You can search for that on your podcast app of choice. For Osmo, for Brian, I'm Pete. We'll see you guys next time.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.